The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. The Bureau of Governmental Research, otherwise known as BGR, has issued a new report on how has Fair Share fared, the impact of the 2019 deal to increase tourism taxes for New Orleans infrastructure. We are joined by Rebecca Mowbray, President and CEO of BGR, as well as Paul Rue, Senior Research Analyst. Welcome to the show, folks.
Thanks so much, Newell. We appreciate you having us on.
So, Rebecca, let's start out with, if you would, remind the listening audience the components that came together for this deal and what it actually meant.
Sure. So this was a 2019 deal that involved the city and the state and a couple of private parties or semi-private parties locally. It involved a 1% tourism tax that wasn't being used, and the money was rededicated to infrastructure in New Orleans, and BGR actually played a role in finding that penny of taxing capacity that was able to be put together for this purpose. It also involved the city and the state putting in, the city and the state putting in some one-time money toward this deal, and then there's of course the recurring revenues from this. This hotel tax. And the important thing about a hotel tax is that it's largely visitors to New Orleans who are paying for it, but it's now going to infrastructure in New Orleans and 75% of the money goes to the Sewerage and Water Board, 25% roughly goes to the city's Department of Public Works, and then there's also a small amount of money from a short-term rental tax that goes to New Orleans and Company for tourism promotion.
So they kind of, as I recall, too, there were some city agencies that were reassigned, so to speak, I guess, for lack of a better term, into the New Orleans and Company umbrella, right? And that was the French Market
Tourism Marketing Corporation, which was kind of the marketing arm for the leisure tourism industry, that is now part of New Orleans and Company, but they repurposed some of the funding for that to something called the New Orleans Tourism and Cultural Fund, which makes direct grants to culture bearers or many of the folks in our city who make New Orleans culture what it is and the reason why many tourists want to come here.
So before we start to talk about how these dollars have been spent and whether or not we're getting the biggest bang for our buck, If you would, identify the landscape of the total amount of dollars needed to accomplish what we need to do. If we had a blank check, what would that amount be to bring everything up to snuff? Have you all figured that out?
Yeah, we do touch on that in the report. You know, the capital costs are just massive, billions and billions of dollars. We don't end up with a precise number, but it's on the, you know, it's in excess of $5 billion for both the city's needs for streets and the sewage and water board's needs for all of its systems. But what this revenue is primarily focusing on maintaining the infrastructure we have, and so that's a smaller amount of money, but still quite significant. And just to kind of give an overview, the fair share revenues on a recurring basis are generating about $31 million. And so $28 million of that go to this primarily the Sewage and Water Board, but a portion to the city for streets. And then the remaining $3 million is the tourism promotion dollars that you were talking about. And so, again, you know, the concept of fair share was the idea that the city was not getting its fair share of tourism taxes to help, you know, offset the cost of the burden that tourists and other visitors place on the city's infrastructure.
So where do we find ourselves as to how this is actually fared out at the present time?
I mean, in general, this is a good news story. I mean, we found that the deal is really measuring up and fulfilling its promise of providing substantial recurring revenues, you know, for pretty essential infrastructure projects. I mean, the Sewage and Water Board is using this for the badly needed power complex, you know, the upgrade to its utility so it doesn't always have these outages that lead to boil water advisories. It's using some of the money for its smart metering project to hopefully, you know, get a handle on the problems with the billing system. And so it's definitely meeting some critical needs. Although on the other hand, we did find around that there are some issues with transparency and accountability that we have some recommendations to fix.
So we do know that, and I read the report last night, and y'all made some observations about the Sewage and Water Board and how they're spending the dollars. It seems that y'all felt more comfortable with their level of transparency because of this separate citizen advisory board that was kind of reviewing and had some oversight on some of these projects. Department of Public Works, would it be a fair characterization? You didn't feel as strongly about the transparency there and where those dollars are going. And then to add to that, the most recent occurrence of that organization being folded into the New Orleans Sewage and Water Board as to whether or not we will have a complete accounting as to how that's going to happen and where the dollar and what the sum of money that's going to be transferred to the Sewage and Water Board to be able to do that job. Would that be a fair characterization?
Right. Yeah, we found that with the Sewage and go ahead, Becky.
No, you go, Paul.
Okay, sure. With the Sewage and Water Board, which again, gets about $22 million, you know, kind of the lion's share of the revenue. We found a pretty effective oversight mechanism. There is a citizen board called the Infrastructure Advisory Board that really kind of vets all spending proposals by the Sewage and Water Board. You know, it asks for, you know, what's the purpose? You know, what's the justification? What will be the benefits? And it, you know, there's a little bit of a back and forth, and then they end up making a recommendation. Now, it's not binding. The Sewage and Water Board still needs to have its independence to operate as it sees fit. But there's this layer of accountability and transparency that can help really build public trust in the Sewage and Water Board. And they've certainly embraced this and are cooperating and participating willingly in this level of oversight. Now, that board, that advisory board, does not apply to the city, which receives about $6 million a year for public works. And so in determining where that money went, we had a bit of a back and forth. I had to do a little bit of research on our own to determine where it went. And so that's a little bit of a problem. But we did find that the revenue went to a suitable purpose, you know, primarily to street maintenance, which is an issue that BGR has long urge the city to address with, you know, increasing maintenance because that reduces repair costs, you know, down the road. And also with all the post-Katrina street work, we need to maintain those streets to get the maximize the benefits to the public.
Paul, what's the sense, and Becky as well, I mean, what's the sense of whether or not, last I heard, the council, the city, and the Sewage and Water Board have yet to get to a number, a quantifiable number, that will be transferred to the Sewage and Water Board in order to take on the additional duties that they have with the transfer of the maintenance of part of the drainage system?
That's right. It's still in play, and coming out of the legislative session, it had been contemplated to fund some of the maintenance of the minor drainage system with non-school zone traffic camera revenues, but it is unclear how much money that will yield. And the city council has said that they will also make a payment, appropriate some money for that. But it remains to be seen whether this amount of money will be sufficient. And I guess just to back up for a second, you know, there's long been this issue that our drainage system is, maintenance of the drainage system is split between the city's Department of Public Works and the Sewage and Water Board, which doesn't make a ton of sense because water just flows. It doesn't know which, you know, pipe it's in, and it's a connected system. And so it all needs to work. And the city maintains the pipes less than 36 inches in diameter. The Sewage and Water Board maintains the major pipes. It's all going to get transferred to the Sewage and Water Board. BGR has long advocated for the consolidation of the management of the drainage system, but with the major caveat of with funding. And so, you know, that's a really important piece of the puzzle to figure out. And so we raise in our report right now with the money from the fair share, you know, for the reoccurring revenue, 75% of it goes to the Sewage and Water Board, 25% to DPW. We recommend that this could be a time to, you know, take a look at, do you want to continue that split? And there is some logic to potentially shifting all of the money over to the Sewage and Water Board to pay for, you know, help pay for the minor drainage system consolidation. And there is, as Paul had just mentioned, you know, we found that there's a lot better oversight over there and accountability with the Infrastructure Advisory Board. On the other hand, there continue to be many unmet needs on street maintenance in New Orleans. The fair share funding deal has contributed, you know, has helped double the annual funding for street maintenance to about $15 million a year, but that's less than a third of the $50 million that the city estimates it needs each year to maintain streets. So if the parties to this decided that they did want to shift money to the Sewage and Water Board, you know, we think that the city would need to come up with, additional funding to not lose any ground on paying for streets. So basically, we're just recommending that, you know, this is probably a good opportunity to take a look at everything about how the money is allocated, but it's money for both streets and for Sewage and Water Board is insufficient, even though the fair share has made a big difference in that. So we just don't want to lose any ground on either side.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
One of the things that kind of mystified me, and y'all can comment on it if you'd like or not, I get it. How is it when we're facing these challenges that we feel that, you know, we need to go spend $9.1 million on culture barriers? And I'm curious what our ROI is there, and whether or not there's anything given back by virtue of the grant dollars, because they're in such small amounts, they're almost meaningless in many respects. And I just don't understand why we're involved in the giveaway as it relates to this fair share, when the primary motivation and mission of it was to be able to dedicate all of these dollars to infrastructure. I mean, if maintenance of streets requires $50 million, we have $15 million. Who in their wildest dreams thinks it's appropriate to go give away $9 million in grants?
Right.
I don't get it. I mean, you know, have y'all looked at these grants to see, you know, what's the mission and the vision of these I mean, they're all worthy organizations. I get it. But I mean, are they all executing on that? I mean, I doubt it.
So you raise some excellent questions. And I think, you know, the name of this whole program from 2019, the Fair Share, has several meanings. One is the idea that the city of New Orleans would get its fair share of tourism tax money to slate toward infrastructure, in recognition that, you know, the burden, the tourists coming to the city each year do contribute to that burden. It was also intended to compensate culture bearers who are part of the reason why people do want to come to the city. We decided in looking at this that for this report, we were going to look solely at the infrastructure side of it, because that's obviously the major component of it. And so, you know, we just had a little box in the report noting this tourism and cultural fund. We have not at this point looked at the grants and what the ROI is on those and things like that. We may go back and do a separate report taking a look at that program and how, you know, how that's working out for the city. And we also noted in the report that, so there was this tourism cultural fund that's funded through Fair Share, but then a year or so ago, the city council also created a competing cultural fund. So we've now got two funds with millions of dollars going to largely the same thing. And I think, you know, in BGR's role, it might be a good thing for us to take a look at how do other other cities have programs like this, and if so, how are they structured to make sure that they're effective? And for us, you know, those remain unanswered questions at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to be negative, but I actually looked at some of the organizations that received it, and I can promise you if we surveyed tourists that came to this city and asked them if they ever heard of any of these organizations, they would probably be somewhere in right around zero. Because, I mean, you know, I have people on this show every week that are in the community working. I've never heard of some of these organizations, and I don't know what role they're playing in some overall cultural strategy. And it just seems, again, a misdirection of priority, you know, as it relates to some of these dollars, for sure. But in the end, I was very encouraged, Rebecca and Paul, by the flavor of the report, because it seems as though a lot, and I guess the mayor and her team and others should be given credit, because she fought long and hard for this, and it was a bitter battle. That this has worked out well for the city, and with some of the fine tuning that y'all have recommended in the report, it seems to me that it can get a little better, but not really appreciable, you know, a lot better, because it looks like most of the dollars are being spent in the appropriate buckets. Fair?
Yeah, that's right.
That's right. And
go ahead, Paul.
Keep going, Paul.
Okay, that's right. I would just point, it's been a good deal for local taxpayers and utility ratepayers. This is raising about $31 million a year, and if you had to raise that through, say, a property tax instead, you'd be looking at a tax of about 5.5 mils, which translates to $230 on the average home, as of the last quarter. And so that's a pretty substantial amount of money that, again, is not being taken from local taxpayers, but rather visitors to the city.
You know, it's interesting about y'all's findings as well, and I think y'all would agree, we have to consistently put our best foot forward in how we present ourselves to the visiting public, because those dollars that they spend are so very important to what we're doing as a result of the work that you guys have done, Mayor Cantrell, the council, and others on the spend here. And every new dollar we can bring here is one less dollar we got to pay, right?
Well, there's that, but there's also just, you've got to have streets that are drivable and a water, sewer, and drainage system that works. Like, if you bring a convention to town, or you come here as a visitor and you lose your car that you drove here in a flood, or you arrive and find that there's a boiled water advisory or something like that, that's a problem. And it's a problem for tourists, and it's a problem for locals. And I think on the big picture of this deal, Newell, it really is a good news story for New Orleans, that BGR back in 2015 had really brought forth the discussion about the priorities of where do our tax delegations go. And we found that, a lot of the money that is generated through tourism taxes in other communities goes to fund local needs like infrastructure, and that was lower here. And so this is an example of the city and the state and, other parties such as New Orleans and Company and the DDD and the convention center all came together to create this deal, and it has worked well. And the things, sure, we have recommendations on things to improve transparency and accountability, but all of these things are easily fixed. And everyone should feel good about this and aim to maybe continue these assessments of priorities and make sure that money is going where it's most needed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good to read a report that the dollars are going where they're intended to go, and they're being spent and all of those things that you said, Becky, about what you need. I was about to say, oh yeah, and that too, is necessary. Just as an aside, for certain. Thank you so much for joining us today. Rebecca Mowbray, President and CEO of BGR. Paul Rue, Senior Research Analyst there as well. Great work, folks. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks again, Newell.
Thank you.
All righty. Got to get to a break. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.